I'm excited about the Word of God here today. Are you excited about the Word of God? Well, I'll tell you what, it is the Word that's going to feed you every day of your life. It is the Word that is going to change you. It is the Word that's going to protect you. It is the Word that's going to give you direction. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:22 that the words of God are life to those that find them, health to all of our flesh. The Bible says that God's words are pleasant or sweet like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. You know, the word soul there is talking about our mind. It's talking about our will and our intellect. You know, how many of you know we got to be renewed in our minds? Amen. The book of Ephesians chapter 4 over there in verse 23, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So often we don't think of our thoughts and of the mental realm as being spiritual. Well, I tell you what, spirituality is thinking right. Is thinking right. Amen. And we're reminded over there of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, be ye not conformed to the image of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so if you want to be transformed in this life, if you want to make sure that you don't adopt the image of the world, you're going to have to get into the Word, be a student of the Word. I'll tell you what, the greatest thing you can do for your life is to learn to love God's Word. Because your marriage is not going to be fully right until you love God's Word. Your business, your job, your relationships, raising your kids. None of it's going to truly succeed until it's founded upon the Word of God. Amen. Well, you ready for the Word here today? Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles. I'm going to have you turn to two openings. First of all, we're going to go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And as you're on your way to Romans chapter 5, you're going to pass by John chapter 13. You can go ahead and mark that spot. We're going to come to that briefly. But today I'm going to call this message, Love is the Greatest Way. Love is the greatest way. You remember last week I spoke a message about let not your heart grow cold, right? And Jesus said over there in Matthew chapter 24, he said that in the end days, the love of many shall wax cold because iniquity shall abound and sin shall be on the rise. How many of you know we are living in those days? Billy Graham, he said something very amazing back in the 1980s. He said that if God does not judge America soon, he's going to have to owe Sodom and Gomorrah a big apology. Well, that was an amazing statement for the 1980s. Fast forward 40 years, right? And I'll tell you what, we had no idea just how wicked and evil society could become. And yet we're living in it. And if you're younger and you don't realize just how fast this country has fallen from grace, I'll tell you what, do a little research. Even 25 years ago, things that are being said and done, things that are just commonplace now, were actually resisted just 20 years ago or less. And so Jesus said the love of God's people would wax cold in the last days. And remember, we got into Matthew chapter 24. And remember, Jesus said this. He said, in the last days, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. He said, all these things are just the beginning of birth pangs. Like a woman will contract, you know, before a child is born, so the earth will show these signs. But Jesus did not instruct them to be, you know, political advisors or political professors or things like that. Jesus gave them and us five heart instructions for these last days. Remember what Jesus said? He said, number one, be not deceived. He said, don't be deceived in the last days because we know there's going to be a lot of untruth flying around. You've got to know the truth so you don't adopt something false when it knocks on your door. He said, two, don't be troubled. He said, make sure you control your heart and your mind that you do not be troubled when you see these events start to unfold. I'm here to tell you that the return of Jesus Christ is imminent. You know, whether it's tomorrow or whether it's in 50 years, that's still pretty quick. We know that those times are coming upon us. And Jesus said, don't be deceived. Don't be troubled. And thirdly, he said, don't be offended. He said, don't be offended because you try to expect that things in life should be better than they are. Don't get offended with people. Don't put expectations on people that you demand to be treated a certain way. Don't be deceived. Don't be troubled. Don't be offended. Number four, he said, don't betray one another. Don't betray one another. And five, he said, don't let the love of God grow cold in your life. Today, we're going to talk about the love of God and how the love of God is the absolute greatest way of God. It is the greatest attribute of God. It is the greatest commandment. It is the absolute priority of our lives. Amen. Go to Romans 5:5. And before we jump into John chapter 13, I have to start in this verse because I have to teach you just a little something or remind you about a little something about what it is, what happened when you and I received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Folks, we are living under the New Testament. We are born again. We are blood washed. We are blood bought. And see, we are different from those that lived under the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they were not born again. They were under the law. They had, ordinances and decrees and things that they had to obey. But when Jesus came to this earth, when he died and he rose again, he made it possible for God's Spirit to dwell in humanity again. God had not lived inside a person since Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God was so eager to redeem mankind with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ so he could live on the inside of us again. Amen. And if you're born again, God moved into your heart. You were born, the Bible says, Jesus says in John chapter 3, you were born of the Spirit, or you were born again. But Jesus also, that term born again, if you look it up, it literally means to be born from above, to be born from above. Folks, you are from above. You are not of this world. Do you understand that? We might be in this world, but we are not of this world. Which, when you got born again, Jesus was from where? Jesus came from above. When you became born again, you became that same nature where God sees you as somebody that is from above, not somebody that's just of this world. But the problem is that modern day Christians are starting to look just like the world, starting to act just like the world. And all of a sudden we can't tell a difference between Christians and just nice unbelievers. There should be a supernatural difference between believers and unbelievers. If we think the only difference between a believer and an unbeliever is just we get to go to heaven and they don't, I'll tell you what, that is a sad commentary for God living on the inside of man. Nicodemus came to Jesus during the nighttime. He snuck over. Nicodemus was one of the leading Pharisees in John chapter 3, and he came to Jesus. He says, "Tell us, Master, how are you doing these things? We know that you must be a teacher come from God because no man could do what you do lest God be with him." See, they knew he was from above. And Jesus said, don't be so surprised. He said, no man can see the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God unless he's born again or born from above. Jesus is saying that the only reason you're noticing such a difference in me is because I'm born from above. Folks, how many of you believe the world should see a radical difference in you and I because we're born from above? Amen. And I'll tell you what, we're not just born from above, just to go and, gather up all of our blessings and just, take it upon our merry own way. We are born from above because we are to love one another with God's love. Amen. Amen. Look at Romans 5:5. This is what happened to you and I when we got born again. Some people just read over this verse casually and they don't realize what's going on here. The Bible says, Paul the Apostle, he's writing to the church at Rome, and he says, "And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who is given unto us. Folks, this is what happened when you got born again. When you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God's love was imparted into your spirit by the Holy Ghost, who is now given to you, right? He's given to me. He's living on the inside. When you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you didn't just get a ticket to heaven. You got a brand new nature. You were recreated in the image of God. Now, let me show you why this is so important. I see a lot of you are taking notes. Get a hold of this. Real quickly, and of course, when I was down there during praise and worship, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost started dealing with me about this verse that I'm about to show you. I started to hear it in my spirit, and of course, I knew about where it was, and I looked it up real quick. Can you bring up 1 John 4:8? 1 John 4:8. Here is why it's important that you understand that when you were born again, you were given a new nature. You were created in the image of God. And what is that image? What does it look like? What does it act like? He that loves not knows not God. For God is what?
Love.
Boy, we all sound real excited about that here today. God is what?
Love.
God is love. It didn't say God is loving. It's not just describing how God acts. It describes who he is, what he is. God isn't just a loving God. He is love. His nature is love. His personality is love. Everything that governs every movement of God is the love of God. Amen? And so when the love of God was shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, you received the nature of God himself. Folks, what does that mean? We are born to be beings that demonstrate God's love. Amen. What does that mean? It means you know, your old nature of hate and sin has now, you've received a new nature of love and grace, where before you were selfish and listened only to the flesh. Now you want to listen to the Spirit of God. Right? Your selfishness is going to be crucified. You know, when the love nature of God comes into your heart, all of a sudden you're eager to deny yourself, right? You're eager to put down your preferences and start pursuing the preferences of God. How many of you know it would have been way easier in some ways to be somewhere else this morning, right? But when you get filled with God's love, all of a sudden you are filled with a compulsion to start loving the things that God loves. God's nature moves into you. And all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, now I want to be in church. Now I want to serve in the house of God. Now I'm going to be patient with the people of God. I want to love what God loves. Amen. And this marvelous thing happens when you start walking in the love of God. You start denying yourself more for God's preferences. You deny yourself more, and the joy of God starts to fill your life. The more you give up to put God first and people in front of yourself, all of a sudden you start to walk in this divine joy. Amen. Go to John 13. So we've been born again with a new nature from above, which is the love of God. Everything God is, everything God does is governed by love. So what do you think that means for you and I? Everything we do, everything we pursue, everything in our lives should be and will be governed by God's love. Amen. Praise the Lord. He that loves not does not know God. If you do not walk in love, you don't know him. See, when you got born again, that was the crucifying of your selfishness. All of a sudden, you decided, you know what? I'm not going to make myself happy. I'm going to make other people happy. All of a sudden, things that my flesh would like to enjoy, I'm now going to put those things aside, and I'm going to pursue the things that God wants me to enjoy. Amen. All of a sudden, that nature comes into you, and whereas before, your flesh wanted eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but now you can forgive them supernaturally, even against insults, maliciousness, people, you know, being treacherous to you, people betraying you, turning on you. You can just what? You can just disregard it. All of a sudden, you don't need an apology anymore. all of a sudden you don't need people to make you feel better. You will just love them the way God loves you. Amen? Because you were filled with a divine nature that forgives, divine nature that is gracious, divine nature that gives forbearance. Do you know what forbearance is? Forbearance is a financial term. How many of you have student loans in here? Any student loan people? Be honest. I still got a few. You know, I was a school teacher, you know, before I was a school teacher and went to college and all that and still owe a few dollars, you know, on those student loans. But because, you know, the federal government sets up a program, because I work for a nonprofit organization, I get forbearances. And how many of you know what a forbearance is? It means you don't have to pay right now. How many of you know the book of Ephesians tells us to forbear one another in love? Forbear. What does it mean? The nature of God says you don't have to pay for that. You don't have to pay for that. Doesn't that sound like Romans 13:8? Owe no man anything except to love him. You don't owe me an apology. You don't owe me anything that's going to make my emotions feel better. I've already released you from that. Oh, but there's so many people, they don't realize that a lot of times they will love people only if they love them in return. They'll treat them good because they get treated good, but that's not the love of God. So go to John 13 and verse 34. Today we're going to see what the love of God is, what the love of God does. And today we're going to discuss two different kinds of love, and you're going to see which one you're walking in. Because one form is God's kind of love that is supernatural. It'll bring blessing to your life. The other kind of love is earthly, and it has no reward with it. But let's take a look at this. John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus says this. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Jesus is repeating it because it's essential. Verse 35, he said, "By this, by your love for one another, shall all men know that you are my disciples, if," or you could say, "only if you have love to one another." How many of you know the Bible says that we are the ambassadors of God, that we represent him? We represent Jesus Christ. And notice the Lord Jesus is telling us right here what he wants us to represent him with. If Jesus can pick one thing that people would know his people by, it is not your talents. It is not how much money you have. It's not how big your house is. It's not how great your status or notoriety is in this life. He says, "I want you to be known by this thing, and this thing primarily is that you are known for loving others." You are known for loving others. You're known as a person that divine nature of love is going to be constantly displayed upon other people. And today we're going to talk about how you act in that love, how you respond to that love. He says, "By this," he said, "I don't want you to be known for your greatness or your possessions or your gifts and your skills and your talent or your money." He says, "I want you to be known by how you love one another." And then in verse 35, praise the Lord, he says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another." Go back up to verse 34. Notice he says that you love one another as I have loved you. See, if Jesus didn't say that, we could put our own interpretation on what it is to love somebody. You know, what it is to treat people right. We would think in our minds, "Well, I did good enough. You know, I think that was enough. I was good enough to them." Jesus didn't leave it open-ended. He said that you love one another as I have loved you. And today we're going to look at how Jesus loved us with the supernatural love of God. Amen. Think about what Jesus did for you. He sacrificed himself to put you first over his own needs, over his own feelings, and over his own pain. Think about it. Jesus was not afraid to suffer if it meant putting somebody over himself. Ooh, we're gonna talk about that here today. Oh my goodness. He was sacrificial. He demanded nothing in return. Demanded nothing in return. All right. Today, we're gonna look at two different kinds of love. We're gonna look at God's love and the earthly kind of love, and then we're gonna look at how God's love actually reacts and treats others. Are you ready? Go with me to Matthew chapter 5. There are at least two different kinds of love described in the New Testament. Actually, if you want to get real technical about it, there's at least five different terms for love in the New Testament. Now, I'm not going to get overly technical here today, but if you study the New Testament, if you understand that the New Testament was originally written in Greek, you will know that there's at least five different words that are translated into our English language as the word love. Greek is a different language. It is a deeper language. And so it'll have multiple shades of meanings for one word, okay? For instance, we have the word love, but in the Greek, there's five different words for love. And I don't have all of them right off the top of my head. We know the first and highest form of love is a word that you are probably familiar with. It means the love of God or the God kind of love. That's the word agape. How many of you ever heard of the word agape in your life? Many of you Christians, you have. You're familiar with it. The agape love is the God kind of love. That's the love that the Lord loved us with. That's the love that he says that you love one another with agape love, the same love that I loved you with. But how many of you know there are other forms of love? And if you're not careful, we're gonna be sober with ourselves today. We can find ourselves walking in the earthly form of love, and we think that that's the God kind of love, but it's not. All right, go to Matthew chapter 5. Go over there starting in verse 43. Go to Matthew 5:43. I'm gonna tell you about two different kinds of love. The first kind is the kind that I just mentioned, agape love, the God kind of love. Here's the second kind that we're gonna talk about today that is most commonly found on earth that is often mistaken for the love of God. And that is the Greek word, and I'm not trying to be all impressive. I can just look it up in the same concordances you can. But it's a different kind of love. It is the Greek word phileo. It is literally spelled P-H-I-L-E-O, all right? It means brotherly love. Brotherly love as opposed to agape, which means the God kind of love. Now, the term phileo should be somewhat, you know, familiar to us. How many of you have ever heard of the city called Philadelphia? Which the word Philadelphia means what? The city of brotherly love. You know, that's not just the nickname for Philadelphia. That is literally its meaning because it is a Greek word. How many of you know in the book of Revelation, Jesus wrote a letter to a church in a city in Asia called Philadelphia? It means literally the city of brotherly love. Now, when you hear that term, you say, well, brotherly love, you know, that's not bad. That's not wrong or whatever. You know, we're gonna show you a passage of scripture where Jesus is gonna outline the two kinds of love that is often found on this earth. One is supernatural, the other is not. You and I cannot confuse the two. And we're gonna see this, all right? Jesus speaking, are you ready? Yes. You have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Married couples, this is not the time to start elbowing one another. I'm just joking around, I'm having fun. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Whoa. How could Jesus ever, ever expect us to obey that scripture? How could Jesus ever give us a new commandment that would fulfill all the commandments and tell us to love one another as he loved us? That would only be possible for those who have had the love of God shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost. Jesus was teaching this because he knew the day would come that those that would receive him as Lord and Savior, they would receive a new nature. How many of you know under the Old Testament, people couldn't love the way God loved? Under the Old Testament, it was eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Someone wronged you, you wrong them back. Someone hits you, you hit them back, and a little harder than they hit you, right? Someone does you wrong, you make them pay for it. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, wrong for wrong, right? But in the New Testament, we've now received this new nature of God, and Jesus started to preach about it even before he rose again. He's saying the day is coming when my nature is gonna move on the inside of you. And while it was once impossible for you to love your enemies, once it was impossible to bless those that curse you, it was once impossible to love them that hate you and do good to them that hate you and despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, because you've received the nature of God, this is completely possible. This is the love of God. Do you see agape love being described? Agape love of God is unconditional. The love of God says, you don't need to return good for my good. I don't need you to bless me. My love for you is not based on emotions and feelings. How many of you know your enemies don't produce any good feelings in you? But yet if you're waiting for somebody to produce a good feeling in you, you're not walking in the agape love. If you're just waiting for your spouse to apologize before you start walking in love, you are not in agape love. Because agape love does not require your emotions to be considered. Agape love doesn't need, you know, your ego stroked and someone to pet your feelings. Oh, honey, just feel better. Yeah. Reverend Justin finds that funny and amusing, praise the Lord. But it's so true, so many people, they hurt my feelings. Listen, nobody has hurt your feelings as much as your sin hurt Jesus Christ. Nobody has done unto you what you did unto Jesus. No one has put you on the cross. No one drove nails into your hands. No one hung you naked before the world and mocked you and spit upon you, though you were the Son of the living God. Nobody has treated you like you and I treated him at one point in our life. You say, well, Pastor, I never was that bad. I was always a nice person. Just having original sin is enough to say that you put him on the cross. See, the agape love says, love your enemies. Well, if I'm waiting on a good feeling, I can't do that. Love your enemies. How about just love your spouse? Say, well, my spouse didn't act right today. Well, in your heart, then you're kind of making them a little bit of an adversary now, aren't you? Sometimes your marriage relationship can turn adversarial. Guess what? You're to love them anyway. Say, well, they hurt my feelings. That's your problem. The nature of God doesn't ask permission from your feelings and your emotions before you start doing good unto them. Jesus said, I say unto you, love your enemies. Think about how impossible that is unless it's supernatural. Bless them that curse you. Bless them that curse you. We can't even make it through a traffic jam. We can't even make it through a busy rush hour in traffic without someone doing something wrong to us. Say, oh, you watch this. I'll take my truck and I'll put it 2 inches off your bumper, pal. I'm definitely not talking about me. Because I've never done that in my truck. People driving by you, flipping you off, screaming things at you, or whatever, in traffic. We think we're going to be successful in marriage. We can't even walk in love in the traffic jam. Love your enemies. That person driving next to you is not even an enemy. Not yet. I was down in Florida, I don't know, what, a couple years ago or whatever, sitting at a red light out in front of a Walmart down in Pensacola Beach. I was by myself. I was in a 1995 GMC Safari van. I was just sitting there. I was there for some Reverend Greer meetings, and I'm just sitting there minding my own business, and all of a sudden, this 20-year-old kid looking at his phone, put your phone down, slammed into the back of my van at 50 miles an hour. I'm just sitting there, boom! All I remember is my body contorting like this. I felt like a rag doll. I remember the blue cloth on the headliner. I just remember my face coming right up, and I just went up and like kissed that headliner. You know, I got just crushed. And it, you know, the van got shoved forward about 6-7 feet, which it was from a dead standstill, you know, just boom. And the first thought that came through my mind is, my van is ruined. The second thought that came through my mind is, I'm gonna kill this guy. I got out of my vehicle fully ready, unless it would have been a woman. Even chivalry is not dead, praise the Lord. But I knew, I could tell already. I already looked in my side mirror. I could see it was a dude and he was panicking. He knew what he did. I got out and everything in my flesh was like, I am gonna throttle this guy. I am hurting, I'm in pain, and this guy is done. I just envisioned myself grabbing him and cocking my fist, bringing some thunder and lightning, right? And I mean, I got down, I stepped on the running board, I'm turning like this, he's just getting out, and there was fire in my mind. Well, I know you've never been there. Say, oh my goodness, I don't know if I could go to this church anymore. I know, you're right, I'm not as spiritual as you are. But you know what, as I turned around and he got out of that car, he looked so scared, so nervous, and all of a sudden the love of God just flooded into me. All of a sudden just came into my heart, and this guy walks up. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. My brakes must have failed. I said, don't lie to me. You were looking at your phone, and you know you were looking at your phone. Well, I mean, you were. He said, oh, okay. And I said, listen, just be glad. He's like, I'm going to get sued. I'm going to lose this. He was young. He's like, my dad, this and that and all that. I said, I forgive you. I forgive you. I said, it's okay. You're going to be all right. I'm not going to sue you. I'm not going to sue your dad. You know, and then, of course, the authorities all showed up, and I got a free ride in an ambulance. You know, this was a year and a half ago or whatever it was. And I supernaturally, by that evening, I had pain in my body, all this stuff. The insurance company called, and they're like, well, you know, what kind of compensation do you want for the pain? And you know, I know you had a hospital visit and all this. I said, I don't know, how much you got? You know what? Everyone was telling me, advising me, like, don't settle. You're going to take them to court. You're going to sue the pants off the guy. I said, stop right there. I'm not suing anybody. Well, don't you realize this is your opportunity? No. People said that was an opportunity to get rich. No, it wasn't. It was an opportunity to ruin that young man's life. See, there's people tied to decisions. And the love of God and the insurance company said, how about $500? I said, sure, I'll take it. They're like, really? Like, they were really shocked. I said, yeah, I'll just take that. They said, well, you're going to wake up tomorrow. You're going to have so much pain in your body. They said, you're going to have pain and you're going to have a debilitating problem for the rest of your life. I said, no, I'm sorry, doc. I understand you're just trained to say that, but no, I'm not. I'm forgiving this man right now. I am not suing him. You don't have to prepare any papers. Yeah, give me that big ibuprofen that you got sitting there. I'll take one of those. They gave me a horse pill size of ibuprofen, man. And, you know, when that wore off, I woke up that next morning at literally 98% of all pain was gone. By lunch that next day, 100% is gone. I've never had any complications, any problems or anything as a result of that accident. I believe because when you walk in the supernatural love of God, you're going to receive supernatural help. Yeah, I truly believe I could have gone headhunting from that for that kid. I could have gone after a big settlement. But what do you want? Do you want the money? Why am I on this? This is totally different than where we were going. You can go after the settlement. You can go after the money. You can go after, or you can go after forgiveness, which I'm telling you will bless your life, will be more supernatural providing for you than any money ever thought of being. So I forgave him. His dad showed up. His dad showed up in this really expensive car. This family had deep pockets down in Florida. And I looked over there and the devil even told me, look what his dad is driving. Look what his dad is driving. This is a family of some means. You can go after them. You say, well, pastor, you know, you were wronged. He committed a crime. He crushed you, all this stuff and that. Oh, I know. I was angry. I was extraordinarily mad. But the love of God came into my heart and that love told me what to do. And as the cops were over there cleaning up, throwing the parts into my van, you know, my precious little van. I love that little van, you know, but it's gone anyway. And so I was over there with the side talking to that kid. I said, you know, listen, I'm not going to sue you. I'm not suing your dad. I'm not coming after you. But you can give me a couple minutes. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. And I'm going to tell you why. And I got an opportunity to tell him about the Lord. And he was just stunned. He was just stunned. All right. The love of God is more supernatural than anything that money will ever provide for you. Look at this. But I say, love your enemies. At that moment, I tell you what, I didn't have any, there was no natural ability in me to love that kid. But the love of God is supernatural. It'll allow you to love those that harm you. It'll allow you to bless them that curse you. How can you do that if you're waiting for a feeling? This is the love that rewards you. This is the love that will produce God's supernatural power in your life. Are you ready? Oh, my goodness. I guess I should tell this part of the testimony. I'm not usually a big fan. I don't give a whole lot of financial testimonies and things like that. All right, so I was driving a 27-year-old van. I like 27-year-old vans, okay? I wasn't driving because I had to. I was driving it because I wanted to, all right? And someone cracked into me. You know, that kid cracked into me, destroyed my van and all this stuff. Oh my goodness. I time does not permit to tell this whole story, okay? All right. So I just got in that accident that morning. Are you ready? Somebody, long story short, this godly woman up in Niagara Falls had purchased a truck from me, an older truck. And it was kind of junky. It was just something that I had, but it ran, you know, what I thought, it ran good and everything. And I sold her the truck for like $3,500. And so I've been in this accident. I get back to my hotel room after getting out of the hospital. I get back in there. I get this call from this woman. And I recognize the number. She said, she called me Reverend. She's like, Reverend, that truck I bought from you, the transmission just went out on it. And I'm like, and again, my flesh was just like, you know what? Your problem, not mine. I had no idea, you know. Not my problem, but she was so precious. And the love of God came upon me and literally was just, you know, and I just told her, I said, you know what? Her name was Debbie. I said, Debbie, she was probably in her mid-50s. She took care of several homeless people in Niagara Falls. Supernatural, just out of the goodness of her heart, she lived in a really tough neighborhood. She had an apartment house where she was putting up homeless people to help get them off the street. I said, well, Demi, I've just got out of the hospital, just got in a big car accident, and all of a sudden the Lord led me what to do. And I said, how about this? I'm mailing you a check back. All your $3,500 is going to go back in the mail, all $3,500. She's like, oh, well, I don't want to give back the truck. I said, you don't have to. Keep the truck. Keep the money. She's like, oh, well, it's only going to be $800 to get fixed. I already had it looked at. I said, well, then take the, you know, $800 out of this $3,500, you know, you got another, what is that, $2,700 left for yourself. Just go ahead, keep it, and be blessed. And I'll tell you what, at the time, it was financially, I didn't have much more money than that. That was a lot of the money I had on hand. Now, where did it come into play? Later on, I got a phone call about my 27-year-old van. And I got called from the senior adjuster. He said, you know what? He's like, I've never seen this in the history of doing this for 20-some years. We're going to give you more than its value, not just more than its value. We're going to prorate it because now the van is so old, we're going to consider it a classic. I'm like, tell me more. Folks, long story short, I got $30,000 out of a 27-year-old van. How did that happen? Because when God moves on you, there was two things. I walked in love with that guy that I wanted to punch. I wanted to hit him. I did, but the love of God said, no, 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 no. See, you got to listen to that new nature. That new nature, the old nature wanted to pound that guy. I wanted to, the old nature, but the new nature said, no, I'm going to forgive him. Told him I forgave him, not going to sue him and all that. And then later on that day, I mean, here I am, you know, out of the hospital, and this lady calls me and says, that truck you sold me died. I'm like, oh, great. What a great day. I said, how about this? I was like, Lord, what do I do here? This lady's so precious. And the Lord said, give her all of her money back. Okay, well, I'll get the truck back then. No, let her keep the truck too. Okay, keep the truck too. And then I got a call from the insurance adjuster. He said, I've never seen this before. And you know what they did? They let me keep that van that was damaged. And I took that van, fixed it up. And then obviously it wasn't worth nearly what it was before. And I resold it to a person who knew what it had been through. I was completely honest about the accident. And, you know, the front end of it was still good. Praise the Lord. So, I mean, I want to tell that story. Because what God does when you walk in love, forgive, and do good things, amen. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you. This is what God did for you and I, amen. Look at verse 45. That you may be the children of your Father. This is the nature of God, to bless them that curse you, to do good to them that hate you. God says, you know, go to verse 45, please. He says that you may be the children of your Father, that you may have his nature, which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and the Lord sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Sun and rain are good things if you lived in that land. People sometimes, they take this verse like Jesus was saying that God sends bad things on people. The rain is something bad. No, the rain is very good if you live in that part of the world, right? God is going to bless you. I tell you, Jesus hung on that cross. All of his enemies, the whole world mocking him. And what did Jesus cry out and say? He said, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. Forgive them. Look at verse 46. Now we're going to see the other kind of love. For if you love them which love you, what reward do you have? Here is the second kind of love. He says, do not even the publicans the same? Now notice it says publicans. It doesn't say the Republicans. The word publican here, how many of you know what the word publican means? It means what? Sinner. Literally. The publicans were people that were tax collectors. They were Jewish people that were working for the Roman government, and they would collect taxes from their own Israelite people, and then they would extort more money than what was due, and they became known as sinners. They were literally the lowest in Israelite society during that day. All right? Jesus says, for if you love them that love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the sinners do the same. Folks, here is phileo love. Phileo love is brotherly love, or literally means only to love those that will love you back. Agape, to love your enemies, right, is a supernatural ability. But phileo love, meaning to just love those that love you back, you don't need to be born again to know how to do that. Even a sinner can do that. The world can love their own.
Yeah, exactly.
When I didn't know Jesus, when I was living a life of rebellion, I'll tell you what, when I'd get drunk and when I'd do drugs and all that, I tell you what, I had 1,000 friends. Oh man, and oh how they loved me, right? How they enjoyed to do all those things and they were great. But I tell you what, the moment I started serving Jesus, they wanted nothing to do with me anymore, right? Why? Because all of a sudden the brotherly love was gone. You know, even the world can do this. You remember the old 80s sitcom, you remember Cheers, right? Something that we used to watch before we knew Jesus, all right? Cheers was was centered around a bar in Boston, Massachusetts. And remember the big guy would walk in and everyone would shout, Norm, right? And they'd go down into that bar and they'd sit there and they'd get drunk together, tell dirty jokes, together. See, what was that? That was brotherly love, even amongst sinners. See, because brotherly love is based on, somebody feeding your emotions. Somebody feeds your feelings. Somebody's good to you so you can be good back to them. And if you're good to them, they're going to show you something in return. If you are living a life demanding something in return for your emotions, you are not living in agape love. You're living in phileo love, which says, okay, I'll be good just as long as I get something in return. If somebody doesn't just pet our emotions just the right way, if they don't consider our feelings in just the right way. Folks, are you here today? Oh, praise the Lord. If we don't get what we expect out of somebody, folks, are you getting a hold of this? Think of all the times we demand somebody treat us right. Think of all the times in our marriage we say, well, I can't do that because of how you speak to me, what you do, what you did. I'm not going to talk to you for days on end. Or you see somebody that you work with, that they do something that you disagree with. Or they might, run something different than you may have run it. They might, act different than you might have handled the situation or whatever. And all of a sudden you get upset with them and you talk bad about them or whatever. I tell you what, that is not the supernatural love of God. Are you getting something out of this? Agape needs no feelings. Agape, I don't need anything in return. And when I say me, I'm not saying that I always succeed at this. I'm just using the proverbial me. This is, you talking to yourself. I don't need anything in return. I don't need somebody to treat me right. I don't need their compliments to survive. I don't need their attention to survive. I don't need them, to apologize to me before I'll be good to them. So many Christians, they're just waiting around for an apology. Good thing that God didn't do that to you. Amen. The Bible says if you want to see the demonstration of agape love, you go to Romans 5:8. It says that God demonstrated his love for us, that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't give you Jesus because you produced any good feeling in him. There was no good feeling. There was no guarantee of a good return for God. God didn't give us Jesus because we were doing anything right. God gave us Jesus because we were doing everything wrong. We were hurting him. We were violating him. Do you realize that before you knew Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God was your enemy? Do you know that? I know that sounds harsh. That's what the scripture says. Romans chapter 8 says that the carnal mind is enmity with God. People that don't know Jesus Christ, whether they know it or not, are the enemy of God. And what do you naturally just do to your enemies? You defeat them. You conquer them. But God said, I'm not going to just cast them away. I'm not going to defeat them. I'm going to give them my son, and I'm going to redeem them with my grace. I'm going to forgive their sins. I'm going to give my one and only begotten son. I'm not going to go based on the feelings that they created me. I'm not going to look at all the ways they've hurt me. I'm not going to go back to the past and look at all the times they traumatized me. At some point, you're going to have to forgive somebody with a choice and not wait for a feeling before you forgive them. Some families are being torn apart because they're waiting for somebody in the family to come back and say something nice. I'm just waiting for them. I'm waiting for them. I'm not going to do anything nice for them. I'm not going to be there for them. I'm just waiting for them. I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter what they've said to you. It doesn't matter what insult they've hurled at you. You're to forgive them. If you're walking in the supernatural love of God, amen, you're there for them. Amen. You forgive them and you're gracious to them. I mean, how good it would be for that family member to hear, you know what, I loved you, I forgave you before you even asked me. Folks, are you here today? For if you love them which love you, what supernatural reward do you have? None. If you're just treating your spouse at the level they treat you, there's no reward for you. See, God says, no, don't make their actions the condition by which you treat them. You make, your standard should be my standard regardless of how they're acting. They could be having the best day of their lives and treating you, you know, like a, you know, bundle of roses or something like that. They're just being all sweet and kind to you. But what are you going to do when a good feeling is hard to find? You're going to walk in love. Love is now the new commandment. It is the law by which everything is governed. Your marriage will depend how you walk in this principle. The way you raise your kids depends on how you walk in love. Your finances, your family, your job, your business, your health, your joy, your peace are going to be fed on how you respond to the principle of God's unconditional love. Folks, are you here? Because if you just love people the way they love you, you have no reward. Now, real quickly, go to 1 Corinthians 13. Agape versus phileo. Be sober and judge yourself. Which one do you think you walk in more? All of a sudden, you'll be walking in phileo love, brotherly love. You're just waiting for people to treat you right before you do anything good. You're waiting for someone to do something you can agree with before you bless them. Praise the Lord. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. And here we are. We're going to wrap it up right here. Go to verse 1. Paul the apostle, he says this. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If you're reading into the King James, you notice the word charity. It is literally the word agape. It is the love of God, if you look that up in the Greek. He says, though I can speak with supernatural languages of heaven, meaning tongues of men and of angels, he says, but if I have not love, I am as useless as a gonging cymbal. Wow. Folks, isn't it amazing? It is more supernatural to walk in love than to speak in the tongues of men and of angels. It is more supernatural to forgive and to be patient than it is to receive a miracle. Amen. Boy, you're all excited about that here today. Go down to verse 4, and can we bring this up in the Amplified? Go to verse 4, and I'll bring it up in the Amplified. I'm going to give you your homework assignment now. Are you ready? Yes. Two assignments if you're going to walk in the love of God. Remember, you're born into the love nature of God. Love is agape love, not phileo love. See, when you're young and you're full of the flesh will just treat somebody the way they treat you. You know, if they want to shake your hand, you'll meet them there. But if they don't deserve it, you don't, you know, show them that kindness. You know, if somebody, you know, hurts you, you hurt them back. That's how the flesh works. But we're supposed to respond in the nature of God. Here we go. Two things. I'm only going to read the first phrase of this verse because there's enough in this first phrase to keep us busy for eternity, right? This is what the love of God does. This is agape love now. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Bring it up in the King James. If you wonder what that word endures literally means, in the King James it says love or charity suffers long. We live in a society that says, I always want to be comfortable. I always want to feel good. I always want good feelings. I want my coffee and I want it now. I want my burger and I want it now. I don't want to wait in the fast food line. I don't want anybody to make me uncomfortable. I don't want anything to be uncomfortable in my life. The first attribute of supernatural love is that it suffers long. Meaning literally, go back to the Amplified, that it endures with people really, really long. The love of God does not have a short fuse. The love of God is not quick to lose its temper. The love of God endures long with people. Amen. The love of God will suffer through someone's insults. The love of God will suffer long through their maliciousness. The love of God will endure long with their bad attitude. Are you here today? But Pastor, I'm just not putting up with it. If they keep treating me like that, they're just gonna get a piece of my mind. I'm not gonna have any time for them. Brotherly love. You're just waiting for them to make your feelings good. If they put a good feeling in me, if they consider my emotions, if they just put me first. See, our society says, put me first. But the love of God says, let me suffer to put you first if I have to. Glory to God. So many marriages, they come and go because no one's willing to suffer. Folks, I understand that nothing is more emotionally a tougher emotional hardship when somebody is suffering in their marriage. But guess what? When a good feeling is hard to find, love endures long. Well, Pastor, you don't know what they've said. They don't know what they've done. And I understand sometimes it's necessary for a marriage to end in divorce. I know that's a tough thing to say. Sometimes it can be necessary. It's unlikely, but it can be necessary. But only after you've endured long. After you've endured and suffered long, meaning, I did everything I could. I forgave them. I loved them. I gave them my best. Yeah, obviously, if they're running around, in infidelity, if they're physically abusing you or even in very intense emotional abuse and things like that, sometimes the Bible says it's better for a brother or sister not to be bound by such things. But I tell you what, your marriage is going to survive. Your marriage is going to endure and last because you suffer long. Amen. If you're waiting for someone to always make you feel good, you're caught in the wrong kind of love. If you're waiting for your boss at your job to make you feel good, I'm telling you, you're caught in the wrong kind of love. Boy, it sure is quiet in this convention here today. Love endures long. See, the Bible, uses that word patient here in the Amplified, but the real word is what the King James brought up is suffers long. It means supernatural patience. Assignment number one. Everything we do will be filtered through the mercy of God. Come on now, praise the Lord. The love of God is not based on merit. Sometimes people, they're waiting for people to reach their approval before they love. Folks, stop waiting to approve of somebody before they get your kindness and your love, amen? And here's the second thing, your second assignment, and we'll end right here. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Isn't it amazing that God says love suffers long and is kind? Kindness is the last thing that you feel when you're suffering. Folks, let me just say this real quickly because I truly believe this is going to speak to somebody in this room. You may be enduring somebody right now. That could be a spouse, that could be a coworker, family member, somebody. You're enduring somebody, or maybe you're enduring a situation. How many of you know when you're enduring something, you're not getting a good feeling? Right. And so many times I see Christians, they feel like they're failures because they're feeling the endurance. You know, they know they're enduring, they're suffering through certain things, and they feel like they're failing because they feel the pressure of it. They feel all the bad feelings associated with it. Folks, if you're enduring out of the love of God, if you're suffering long and it doesn't feel good, that's just normal. You are not a failure because you feel that way. It is not your feelings that'll make you a failure on the inside. It is your reactions, what you yield to and give yourself to. So if you're in the middle of enduring something and yet you feel like a failure, well, of course the devil's gonna knock on your mind and tell you, oh, just react and lose your temper. You know, and you must be a failure because you feel this way. You're not a failure because you feel that way. But here's the second assignment. Kindness is the last thing that you're gonna feel when you are enduring somebody. Isn't it ironic? It's supernatural. God says, be kind to the ones who are testing your patience. Usually, we're only as kind as someone tests our patience. Meaning, I will only reciprocate kindness at the level that you don't test my patience. Don't test my patience, you get more kindness. You test my patience, you get less kindness. That would be how brotherly love works. But God says, even when you're suffering long at the hands of somebody's attitude, at the hands of, you know, somebody's actions and insults, be kind. Here's what kindness is. Are you ready? Kindness is the act of treating somebody better than they deserve. The love of God has no merit system. Are you here? The love of God does not have a merit system. Folks, brotherly love treats people the way they deserve to be treated. The agape love of God says, I'm gonna be kind, which is the act of treating you better than you deserve. Amen. How many of you believe God is treating you better than you deserve every day of your life? What if you started acting like God? Not saying that you're not, I'm just saying that proverbially. What if I, you know, us, what if we more and more started acting like God? What if our kindness and our behavior wasn't based on the merit or the actions of what people are saying? What if our actions weren't based on our feelings or our emotions? What if our standard was always just the love of God, regardless of what people are doing? What if our standard was the love of God, regardless of how we were feeling or how our emotions were? Folks, here's your assignment. Two things. Suffer long and do it with kindness. If you will treat people better than they deserve, right, you'll walk in the supernatural reward of God. See, when Jesus said, he said, if you walk in phileo love, he says, what reward do you have? If you love those that love you in return only, what reward do you have? Meaning, there is a reward for walking in God's love. It's the law that governs everything. You will watch God's blessing flow into your life at the level that you walk into love. You'll enjoy the blessing, you'll enjoy the promises. Jesus set a new commandment. With that one commandment of love, Jesus set aside the 3,000 commandments of the Old Testament. He says, if you fulfill this one commandment, all the rest will be taken care of. So in review, are you ready? You've been born again with the love nature of God. Jesus says, by this, this love, this supernatural agape love, shall all men know that you follow Christ. God said, don't represent me with your talents and your skills and your money as much as represent me with my love. Amen. Amen. And then Jesus said, if you love those that love you only, there's two kinds of love. Phileo love produces no reward. It's easy. Sinners can just treat their own well. He said, but if you're gonna be like your Father in heaven, you love your enemies. You bless those that curse you. You do good to them that hate you. Folks, you know why the Lord tells us to do that? When you put kindness on somebody, what does the Bible say over there? What is that verse over there? Romans 2:4, I believe it is. It says, the goodness of God leads men to what? Repentance. How many of you want to be a soul winner? How many of you want to bring someone to Jesus and bring them to heaven with you? You're never going to do it without love. It is not your theological genius that's going to win souls. It is not your ability to quote the entire book of Proverbs, which that would be a good thing. All right, I wish I could do that, you know? But what's going to lead people to Christ is your kindness. When you treat people better than they deserve, it speaks to their heart. All of a sudden, God is using your reaction, your kindness. People will start to know, oh my goodness, I treated them like garbage. I was this and that, and they still were good to me. They still treated me better. I didn't deserve for them to be that kind. And it might take a day, it might take 50 years, but that kindness is the voice of God speaking to the heart of someone who needs to repent. The kindness of God is the voice of the Lord speaking to those that need to repent. And so ask yourself, have you just been walking in the phileo love? Just, well, they're good to me, so I'm good to them. Or have you been putting on this supernatural love that treats people better than they deserve? Not based on what your emotions get out of it. Not based on whether your feelings get helped or considered. Folks, not wrong to have feelings and emotions. Of course, we have them. Can't always stop them. But I'm here to tell you that they are sometimes the greatest liability in our life. Christians are so emotional. They just want everybody to help their feelings because our society has bombarded us. We're Americans. Therefore, we get our way every time, every way we want it, and we want it now. Our society, our consumer-minded society says, you're always first, you're always first, you're always first. But the love of God comes into our heart and says, you know what, I'll put you first. I'm gonna love you, I'm gonna be kind to you. Folks, how about this? I'll endure you long if you'll suffer long with me, right? I'll treat you better than you deserve. I sure have tried to do that for these 18 years. And I think I'd get a passing grade. I definitely wouldn't get 100%. But I'll treat you better than you deserve if you treat me better than I deserve, right? Meaning, you know, I'm just saying this as an illustration, like, look at everybody this way in your life. If you want to see, you know, God, you know, supernaturally move on your life, just treat them better than they deserve. If you want to see people's lives changed and blessed by your life, treat them better than they deserve. You know, do you understand what I'm saying with that? You know, so many times, you know, people, they're just waiting for their feelings. They're waiting for their emotions to get something out of it. Set them aside. Did you get something out of this here today? Agape love, unconditional love of God. It's not based on feeling. It's not based on emotion. It's based on choice versus phileo love that is just simply your emotions needing something in return. Choose which one you're going to walk into. Folks, that's my message, and I'm sticking with it. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and praise you. Father, we thank you that when we were born again, we were born with the love nature of God. Lord, you said to love our enemies, bless those that curse us, do good to them that hate us. That was impossible before the new birth. It was impossible for us to suffer long with somebody. It was impossible for us to be kind and to treat people better than they deserve. But now that we're born with the nature of God, Father, it's completely possible. Lord, you told us to love one another as you loved us. You loved us with the unconditional agape love of God. You treat us better than we deserve. You are patient. You are always kind to us. Father, I can't let a day go by without thanking you for your patience towards me. Thank you, Lord. You are so faithful and good. And now, Lord, we're going to turn to that nature in our hearts, and we're going to turn it loose on other people. We're just going to love them. We're going to forgive them before they even ask. We're not going to demand an apology. We're not going to look for someone to stroke our emotions and make us feel better. Yeah, that's a luxury. It's nice when people do that. Nothing wrong. We can treat one another with brotherly love. But what are we going to do when a good feeling is hard to find? What are we going to do when people do not produce a good feeling? Thank you, Lord God. We're going to walk in love. With all eyes closed, with every head bowed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you're here today, and if you are uncertain about your eternal destiny, if you're uncertain about your salvation, I'm telling you, don't leave this building until you get sure. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came to this earth. He suffered like a criminal, was nailed to that cross. He was crucified. He shed his blood. He died to pay the punishment for our sins. And the Bible says 3 days later, God raised him from the grave so that you and I could confess him as Lord and Savior and be born again. If you're here today and you've never done that, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to bring you down front. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. But if that's you, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. And when I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I will lead this entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can make Jesus the Lord of your life. Folks, I'm going to tell you the truth. Heaven is real and hell is real. But the good news is that Jesus Christ came to deliver us from eternal punishment, to deliver us from the price of our sins. And if you'll put your trust in him and call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved and delivered. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here within the sound of my voice that you'd say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I need my sins to be washed and cleansed. If that's you, could you lift your hand now? Is there anybody? I see that hand. You can put it down. God loves you. I see that hand. You can put it down. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. And yeah, at times we hear things that are challenging to us, but it's when we get challenged that we step up, we obey God. He moves into our life in a greater way. Is there anyone else that'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus in my heart. I need my sins to be forgiven. I want to follow the Lord. I want to go a different direction in my life. If that's you, can you lift your hand? Anybody else before we pray? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. God loves you. God loves you. This is why we don't just read a poem and call it a sermon. We got to get into the Word. We got to hear the truth. Is there anybody else before we pray? God loves you. He's not mad at you. He's drawing you to himself. Anybody else before we pray that you say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus in my heart. I know it. It's not based on family church. It's not my idea. It's not this church's idea. It's God's idea. Anybody else before we pray? We've had several hands. I see that hand. You can put it down. God loves you. Anybody else before we pray? You'd say, Pastor, that's me. Yeah, I see that hand. You can put it down. God loves you. Praise the Lord. We had several hands. Let's go ahead. Let's pray this prayer. We're all gonna pray it along with you. So if you lifted your hand this morning and you're calling on the name of the Lord, pray these words out of your mouth. Don't just think them in your mind, speak them to the Lord. He will hear you. We're all gonna be praying right along with you. Everyone repeat after me, speak these words from your heart. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Folks, isn't it awesome to see people confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior? I tell you what, we should never, never take that for granted. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. You know, I'll tell you, God has been so good. You know, yesterday morning, I conducted a funeral. It was actually early afternoon. I conducted a funeral in Erie. There was an elderly church member in our Erie church that passed away. You know, and three souls, you know, confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior at that funeral. Last night in our Erie service, we saw a young man, you know, receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Here this morning, we had four or five that have received Jesus as Lord and Savior. Folks, that is not something a minister is doing. That is something that a faithful congregation is doing. And the Bible says that there's rejoicing in the presence of angels. And I tell you what, we should be rejoicing. Amen? Let's go ahead and do that as we're dismissed. Father, we glorify you. We magnify you, Lord God. Father, you are faithful and good, and we command your hand a blessing upon each one. And Father, we just give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.